This is Jay Sekulow. Team Clinton's destruction of emails after congressional subpoena, a federal crime.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It was really a devastating day, not only for Clinton's behavior, but also for the FBI's investigation, because you have this situation with the Platte River Network's technician. Once the news of the server broke in March of 2015 by the New York Times, the next day Congress sent a subpoena to preserve and to produce the contents of those emails. Well, in between that time, he meets with Cheryl Mills and Doug Kendall, Clinton lawyers and chief of staff, and then he decides a couple days later he's going to take bleach bit and delete all the emails that were under a subpoena. And then when he's asked who told you to delete that, he takes the Fifth Amendment.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Hackers have released 30,000 of Colin Powell's private emails showing a wide variety of topics over several years. His harshest words, though, are saved for Hillary Clinton and for one Donald Trump.
Emails are doing the talking. Actually, they're screaming right now, obtained by DCLeaks.com, which, by the way, has ties to Russian intelligence. So watch that angle on this story. In one email, Powell rails about Clinton to power broker Vernon Jordan about how her campaign is trying to throw him under the bus by falsely claiming he gave Clinton the green light to use a personal email at the State Department, when Powell insists he only told her he used an AOL account for personal messages. The big point here is the Clinton camp tried to use that to say it's okay for her to have a server. No, Colin Powell had an AOL account, but not his own server. And when it came to classified email, used a secure computer.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, you can't forget this email scandal because it keeps coming up and there's a significant legal issue. I'm holding in my hand a copy of 18 U.S.C. Section 1519. That's the federal criminal statute. It says the destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in federal investigations is a crime punishable by not more than 20 years imprisonment, which means it is a felony. Here's what we've got. Just 2 weeks after the New York Times reported about Secretary Clinton's email server issue, and after the Congress had issued a subpoena, executives and staff with Platte River, that's who was handling the private email server for Hillary Clinton, wiped that server clean using what's called bleach bit. This has raised significant issues. We're going to talk about this. This is raises a very, very significant point. In fact, it came up in the hearing. Let me play it. This came up in the hearing yesterday in Washington. Take a listen.
Who told you to delete the emails?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully declined to answer and assert my Fifth Amendment privilege.
Were you interviewed by the FBI?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully declined to answer and assert my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
So both of the individuals from Platte River take the Fifth Amendment. This was yesterday in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Iran being emboldened, the State Department acknowledging it. We'll have that later in the broadcast. But let's start with this one. Let me go Jordan and Than quickly here. Jordan, this email scandal and this now knowledge with the FBI report, and it's unbelievable the FBI didn't prosecute anybody here, is pretty damaging. Very damaging to the Clinton campaign.
And we're seeing that now in the polls. I mean, in a new battleground poll out today, Donald Trump with a 5-point lead in Ohio.
Yep.
He has never led in Ohio. He's usually been behind at least 2 or 3 points. This, I say, is directly related to both the scandals just hounding the Clinton campaign,
yep,
and Hillary Clinton's health issues. When you combine those two,
yep,
it's a dangerous combination for a political candidate like Hillary Clinton, and it's now showing up in the battleground polls.
Sam, what is the reaction? What do you think? We'll get into this in the next segment. What's Congress going to do here? This is serious stuff.
Well, listen, the destruction of evidence is now clear. It was in the FBI reports. The question is whether or not there was coordination with Hillary Clinton and her staff. And there was that conference call right before the bleach bit was used with Cheryl Mills. Sure looks like there was coordination.
I'm going to talk about that in the
Jay,
break.
One of those people
break.
That pled. Well, one of the people that pled the Fifth, he has immunity. He has no reason to plead the Fifth. He needs to be testifying.
There is, let me tell you this, folks, there was a conference call between David Kendall, Cheryl Mills. We know that name from Hillary Clinton's staff. Right before all this took place. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Your reaction to all of this. Logan's going to let you know how you can engage right now. We want to hear what you think about not only the email scandal, an emboldened Iran, and of course, don't forget the deplorables.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the broadcast. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or get your voice heard through Facebook and Periscope. You can get your comments in on our live stream and talk to us during the breaks. Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, to be released on September 20th, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. Pre-order it now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, to be released September 20th, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Pre-order it now. Unholy Alliance at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, if we have that music, that is the Jay Sekulow Band doing That's the Way God Planned at the Great Billy Preston. We maybe play that as a little bonus today at the end of the broadcast. So if you want that, you'll let us know. We'll maybe play it during one of the breaks a little bit and see if you like it. 1-800-684-3110. We're talking right now about the wipe server, which bleached bit. That's not new news. What is new news is that under the FBI report, there was a conference call between David Kendall, that is Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Cheryl Mills, who apparently was not only her staff member but became her lawyer, and the Platte River staff about the emails, and that's when a decision was made to delete them. And the FBI went nowhere with this investigation, which to me is just unfathomable. Because as I'm holding the statute in my hand, the destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in a federal investigation is a felony, 18 U.S.C. Section 1519. And it should be that straightforward. All right, we've got calls and comments coming in. Let's go right to them, Logan.
All right, let's go to Suzanne, who's calling from Australia, watching on Facebook. Suzanne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
What time is it there, Suzanne, in Australia?
2 a.m. in the morning.
Okay. You're having a little trouble sleeping tonight, but we're glad we can help you. Maybe this will help you go back to sleep.
No, I've been up. Yeah, I'm a deplorable, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, what I don't get, I sat here and I watched online how these guys took the Fifth Amendment, you know. How can they get away with that? I mean, can't they say, no, we're giving you immunity, you will answer, or...
Yes. The House could give immunity. They could. They've also been given immunity by the federal government. That immunity may be transactional immunity. It may not apply to what they testified before the House. But the question is, and I'll go to Jordan and then on this, I mean, is the question is, and this came up, and Congressman DeSantis brings this up. I'll play it in a moment. But... The immunity deal was given by the FBI. You would have thought that would lead to a prosecution. That's usually you give somebody immunity, yeah, and then you find others that are implicated, and that's why they say, we will give this person the break, so to speak, so we can clearly go after the main perpetrator. Evidently here, they just gave the immunity and did nothing.
Yeah, and I think what's happened with the Platte River folks, this private company that was hosting the server, and these are the guys that were taking the Fifth Amendment in these hearings, the other guy, the Clinton actual staffer, didn't even show up.
Right.
He ignored the subpoena to testify.
Which is unreal.
And he was the one we know was directly given immunity by the FBI. I have a feeling the FBI, because they don't, and the Obama administration is not cooperating here, they're not granting full immunity to these individuals. And that means that congressional immunity may still get them in trouble with the FBI, technically. So
yeah, because it could be transactional
typically
only.
Typically, in this situation, the FBI would grant them that immunity so that Congress could ask these questions, especially if the case is supposed to be closed by the FBI.
Yeah.
Why not grant them the immunity and then let them testify?
So, then you were up there in Washington. You've been talking to people on the Hill, and you were talking to staff that was involved in this. What is the status? What is the reaction? I'm going to play Congressman DeSantis' statement in a moment here.
I think we're having some technical issues there.
Yeah, I guess we didn't get to Than.
Yep, Than, I think he's having some technical problems.
Oh, yeah, Jordan's right on point here. The two witnesses yesterday, Jay, that the committee continues to be most interested in, Brian Pagliano.
Let's move on. Let's go ahead and let's cut Than for a second and reconnect with him a little bit.
All right, let's go ahead and let me play Congressman DeSantis' statement because I think it's very relevant here.
The DOJ actually gave him immunity. We don't know what type of immunity. We don't know how broad the grant was. But when he was talking to them, he invoked attorney-client privilege as the reason not to answer. But it wasn't his privilege. He was invoking it on behalf of Secretary Clinton. So this whole thing really stinks. And when you have a situation where something is subpoenaed and then it's destroyed, and there's this meeting, this conference call that took place in between that, people are going to, I think, draw the most reasonable inference that someone told them to bleach bit that stuff.
Of course someone told them to bleach bit it. And the reality is, do we not know exactly who? And this is what we have to find out. We've got to find out who authorized this, and this is where the investigation needs to continue. And again, I'm holding in my hand 18 U.S.C. Section 1519, destruction, alteration, or falsifications during a federal investigation. And here you had both Congress and the FBI, and after the notification of this, they went ahead and did the bleach bit. And we know Cheryl Mills was on the phone call. That is supposedly Hillary Clinton's confidant and lawyer, as well as David Platt and the David Kendall and individuals with Platt River. This also comes on the heels of emails being disclosed from Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, who says, quote, "I do not want to be dragged into this. I told her staff three times not to try that gambit. I had to throw a mini tantrum at a party to get their attention. She keeps tripping into these, quote, character minefields," he wrote. He reportedly had tried to settle the matter in a meeting with Clinton aide Cheryl Mills. Powell also went on to say that he warned her staff three times over the past 2 years not to connect me to it. So when she did that Colin Powell reliance, that was absolutely positively incorrect.
Yeah, I think this is breaking news to a great extent. I mean, I think this is why Hillary Clinton's got this great slide going on in the polls right now across the country. Colin Powell was there. They kept saying, oh, Colin Powell, he told us this is exactly what you do. This is how we do it. And now it's been made clear, unfortunately, because of a hack, but it's been made clear that Colin Powell told her, you know, first of all, Colin Powell never had a private server. All he had was an AOL account. His AOL account was only for communication with family and private matters. No classified, no work at all. No work whatsoever. And by the way, if you have an AOL account, guess what? Those emails could always be available to FBI investigators because you aren't in control of them. Just like any of us that have Gmails out there, you could delete your account. You could delete all your emails. Guess who still has all of them? Google.
Yeah,
Google
I'm gonna get
the government can still get access to
it. I'm going to get some comments here, but I want to put this in context. Hillary Clinton uses a defense that she was advised by Colin Powell to do this. Now, let me tell you clearly what he has said. And this is coming from Colin Powell's statements. He said he never told her to utilize an unclassified, unprotected server for material that was deemed classified. And that he also said that he used his personal account for unclassified messages only. Unclassified messages, period. So this tells you folks the nature of what the situation is, and this is the part of the problem. Can we try to get Than, Logan? Should we try to see if Than is
back up? All right, let's go to Than.
All right, Than, you there?
I'm here, Jay.
All right, a little delayed, but that's okay. So, Than, congressionally, what's going to happen here with these two guys take the Fifth Amendment? The American people have got to be asking the question I'm asking, which is someone ordered this to be done. It follows a conference call from Cheryl Mills. What is the next move?
Well, I think there's two witnesses here that are going to hear from the committee again, Jay. First, Brian Pagliano, the State Department employee who set this server up, who defied a subpoena yesterday. I think that there will be contempt of Congress charges brought against him. Now, again, people need to understand the Department of Justice is probably not going to cooperate on that contempt charge, but that's number one. Second, Jay, and I think more interestingly, is this Paul Combata from the Platte River Networks. Yep. This is the individual who, 4 weeks after the FBI opened an investigation and 2 weeks after the New York Times broke the story about the server, he had a conversation with Cheryl Mills, and then he used Bleach Bit on the server. Jay, before the committee yesterday, He pled the fifth. There is a connection there between Hillary Clinton's staff and the use of this bleach bit. I think the committee will proceed on him further, and there should be prosecution on him.
There is no doubt about this, folks. I think this is what Jordan said earlier. This is continuing to unfold. Let's get a couple comments, Logan.
Yeah, this comes in. Always, this is the comment, which is, always comes in from a lot of different people, which is, just curious, how does she always get away with these things? That comes in always from people on social media.
So this is the great question. This is the political question. And Jordan, you touched on this the other day. I mean, the fact is, any of these situations, whether it was the hospital thing or the medical situation or the emails, if it was anybody else other than the Clintons, this would be not an issue.
Yeah, I mean,
they would be paying the consequences.
Staff would be already being prosecuted for crimes. Immunity would not have been given to these. First of all, you don't have to give immunity to these tech officials. You know why? You just go in and seize the tech. And if it shows up on the tech that there were these deletions made after subpoenas were issued, after you were contacted by the FBI, you don't need to give them immunity to get that information. You then arrest them.
Right.
That would have happened to anybody based off the past, I'd say, 20 years of political prosecutions. Would Hillary Clinton herself? We don't know. That would have taken more people talking and a longer investigation. But a lot of her team would be facing federal prosecution right now if this wasn't Hillary Clinton and a Department of Justice. I mean, remember, President Obama, who's out on the campaign trail in her place while she's sick? President Obama yesterday taking hard hits at Donald Trump.
Yeah. All right, let's grab that phone call, Logan.
Right, Alonzo's calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Alonzo. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes, sir. I just wanted to know on record that one gains immunity from a certain violation in order so that they can openly testify. And here I think that they're eating their cake and having their cake and eating it too by doing both. And I feel like they can't do both. If he's gained immunity, he needs to be able to openly testify.
This is the great irony. If you're given immunity, it's so that you can testify. Now, evidently, the immunity was given by the FBI, and it depends on the type of immunity it was given, but it usually it's done to lead to something else. So here, I guess the question will be, what does Congress now do with this? Do you hold them in contempt, and do you enforce that contempt? That's the great question. I can't tell you that's going to happen. I can tell you that this is part of the atmospherics in the political campaign right now that I think is really, really a serious issue. All right, we've got a lot more ahead, including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, people get comments in as well.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. You can get on the calls right now. You can also join us on Facebook and Periscope, broadcasting live right now online, and it's a great way to interact and be part of the movement.
And let me encourage everybody, you can pre-order now your copy of Unholy Alliance, so it's delivered right away by Amazon next week when the book is released, but the link, it's very easy. Just Unholy Alliance. You can check it out on Amazon, a great place to order. We've got links up, too, on my Facebook page at aclj.org. But go and get your copy of Unholy Alliance. We're going to be talking about it later in the show. Iran buzzing, more U.S. aircraft.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, to be released September 20th, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Pre-order it now. Unholy Alliance at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal, complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, to be released on September 20th, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. Pre-order it now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast, everyone. I think that's one of the most appropriate songs we've recorded for the political season we're in. All right, I want to go through this deplorable comments because it's still making some news, and I want to break it up line by line so you know exactly what she said. We're going to comment after each line. I think it's very, people are playing the bucket of deplorables, and that's a bad line, but there's a whole series of sentences here that are problematic, and I want to go through these with Jordan, Fan, and Logan. Let's get comments on this from people on Facebook and Periscope. Let us know what your thoughts are. Here's the first part of it. Here's
you could put
one.
Half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Let me say two things with that. You can put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. First of all, that's a calculated statement. She didn't just say that off the cuff. That is a phrase, as you know, she says what I call. So she wasn't just calling at that moment. This is an ongoing, this was a thought out statement to say basket of deplorables.
Yeah, this was not, I misspoke. And she didn't say that, by the way, in her fake apology where she said, well, it's not half. It was a gross generalization. So what does that mean? It's a quarter. It's 35%. And she opened it up. She used some of the most, you know, terms that are the worst to call people in America.
We're going to go over those in a moment.
But then she opened it up to whatever else you want to call it. So basically, anybody you know who may be supporting Donald Trump or is not supporting me, I think that's more what I was.
Yeah,
if you're not supporting,
you disagree with her.
Hey, if you're pro-life and concerned about her abortion issue, if you're concerned about how she treat religious liberty, you know,
you're
this up to anybody else you want to name.
I'm going
to
play that in a moment. Then 24, 48 hours later now, or actually 3 days later, because this was on Friday when she said this, what's kind of the, is this a lingering problem for her in the campaign?
No question about it. And it's the reason that this portion of the statement, Jay, is the only part she's apologized for, the math. She realizes that she was attacking 25% of the American people. And by the way, I think that is exactly why she's now 5 points behind in Ohio. And Senator Portman appears to be ahead in Ohio. It is having a direct impact in the states that matter. And that's why she apologized for just that portion.
All right. So that's just the basket of deplorables line. That's line number one. And we're getting some comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope on that already.
Yeah, a lot of comments coming in. Lexi said this about kind of all the issues that bleach bit, hammers, pleading the fifth. It seems like they're all guilty. And this is one question that came in. And a lot of people are just saying they're pre-ordering their books.
So there you go. We appreciate that. All right. We do appreciate that. And when it comes to the book ordering, by the way, the book's out a week from, I guess, 6 days. Yeah, so we're really into the countdown right now. And Jordan's going to let you know again how you can get it, and we're going to encourage you to do that. It's unholyalliancebook.com.
Yeah. Yeah, unholyalliancebook.com. And again, if you order through, like, if you're a Prime member on Amazon and you order now, you'll get it the day it's released. So it's not like you'll get it 2 days after through your Prime.
Right.
After. It will actually be shipped to you so that you receive it the same day it will be in the bookstore. So if you order it right now through your Amazon, I know through that. I'm not sure how Barnes & Noble works, but I know through Amazon, and many of our listeners, I'm sure, have their Prime accounts. If you order it now, you will get it the same day it's in bookstores. So unholyalliancebook.com. And it's very timely. We're going to get into this. But Iran threatened to shoot down a U.S. airplane in international waters yesterday.
Yeah, we got that coming
up. So not just buzzing our boats, you know, in the water, but now threatening verbally to shoot down U.S. aircraft that was flying over international water.
Let me play sound. This is the second sentence in the basket of deplorables. We're breaking this down for you line by line. Here it is.
The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
All right, Islamophobic, you name it. I'm going to concentrate on those two. So Islamophobic, we take the view that radical jihadists are trying to destroy Western civilization. Hillary Clinton doesn't share that view. So that would make us Islamophobic in her view. Our Rise of ISIS would be deemed Islamophobic. Our book, Unholy Alliance, would be deemed by her Islamophobic, and therefore we would be in the basket of deplorables. But then she adds to it, you name it. That the you name it is anything you disagree with Hillary Clinton on, you're in the basket of deplorable.
Yeah, I'd say if you're pro-life, if you believe that life begins at conception and you don't believe in abortion on demand and you're not really so fired up when somebody gets their full endorsement in a primary, which was unheard of by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood endorsed Hillary Clinton in the primary. They usually at least stay out of the primary process, but no. So all of that, and that's why she opens it up to her supporters to be able to name call anyone they want who doesn't agree with their positions. So it's not a you endorse Donald Trump through this. When we say you're a proud deplorable, it's the fact that if you don't agree with everything that Hillary Clinton puts forward, you can be put into this category of these very, again, I'd say this is rhetoric that can be very dangerous.
Yep. And you have the thing like, okay, so she's saying that we're all homophobic, which is absolutely insane. And she's someone who didn't support same-sex marriage until like 2013, came out a few years ago for it, was like hardcore against it for a decade. So, I mean, what are you talking about? This is just another one of political.
She also used the term radical Islam after all the pressure for her. And she said, I'll use the term if you want, fine. Yeah. So is she Islamophobic now? Because remember, that's the key term. If you use radical Islam, you're Islamophobic. She did use the term for political purposes once in an interview because she was being pushed on and said, fine, I'll say it.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the thing with Hillary Clinton. When she leaves it open like that, who knows what next week's deplorables will be.
Well, let me give you the next line of deplorables. Here it is.
And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up.
Here's the definition of deplorables. Lamentable, deserving censure or contempt, wretched. That's what it actually means. That's what the word deplorable means. And then she closes with something that theologically I would never agree with, but she makes this statement because this, and that's why no one's giving you this kind of breaking it down. You need to see what she said. Last line.
Now, some of those folks, they are irredeemable, but thankfully they are not America.
Well, first of all, so if you don't share her view, you're not redeemable. I mean, this is, you know, Logan mentioned the word absurdity. So I wanted to play this, Than, for everybody in context, because here's the entire statement. That's why I wanted to do a segment on deplorables again, because in context, it's even worse than just the basket of deplorables.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I thank God that I'm deplorable but redeemable, as are all of us. And I think that most Americans would agree with me, not Hillary Clinton, on that. But let me tell you this, just
bad
very
theology.
Quickly, politically, it hurts her in the middle with independents. And Jay, I actually think it hurts her with her own base, too, because the polling consistently shows that a huge number of Democrats believe ISIS when they say they want to target the homeland and they want to use the refugee process to do that. And according to Hillary Clinton, if you believe ISIS in that regard, you're deplorable and you're irredeemable. That's going to hurt her with her base.
All right.
Let's go ahead and take a quick phone call as we head into the break. Let's go to Peter in New York.
Hey, Peter, go ahead.
Hey, Peter, had some connection issues, so should we try it? Let's put it back on hold, please.
Put him on hold.
All right. You want to try to go another one, or just want to
No, off? We'll let everybody else hold on to the next half hour, which means there is another half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Logan's going to let you know right now how you can get it. Then we're going to talk to you about
here.
The book.
Yep, already here at the half hour break. If you don't get the rest of Jay Sekulow Live, your network doesn't carry it, or you want to interact in a different way, you can do that right now on ACLJ.org. You can watch us, talk to us, and also get an audio-only feed if you're driving. Probably the safest way to do that. Also, but if you are watching on your phone or some other ways, you can join us on Facebook and Periscope. You can interact, get your comments in. Some make it on the air. Talk to like-minded, not so like-minded people, and have some fun doing it. That's on our social media. If this is where it ends today, you can catch the rest of the show later on archived on the ACLJ app for iOS devices and on Roku and Apple TV, and of course the Jay Sekulow Live podcast.
And it's time for you to order your copy of the book Unholy Alliance. It is available September 20th in bookstores, wherever books are sold. But if you're out through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, also if you want a signed copy, go to unholyalliancebook.com. If you pre-order today, you'll get it the same day it's released in the bookstore, so it'll be right at your doorstep through like Amazon Prime and those services. unholyalliancebook.com. We're going to get into why this is so relevant when we come back from the next break. unholyalliancebook.com.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal, complete and utter global domination. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, to be released on September 20th, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad. Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance. Pre-order it now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
back to the broadcast. We started the broadcast talking about the fact that 18 U.S.C. Section 1519 says that the destruction or alteration or falsifications of records in a federal investigation is a crime. This is relevant because yesterday, before the United States Congress, there was testimony on two of the Platte River individuals as well as the Clinton staffer that was in charge of setting up this private email. Here's what you've got, and this is the fact. Just 2 weeks after the New York Times reported the private emails and after the Congress issued a subpoena, there was a conference call between David Kendall, Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Cheryl Mills, who was her staffer and now is acting like her lawyer, and the Platte River team. And then ultimately, of course, we all know what happened. Bleach bit was utilized and the emails were wiped out. This is a federal crime, and the FBI has done nothing. And as this information has become more public and more out there, it is really showing how troubling and problematic this situation is. Couple that with the deplorables comments. It's been a bad week for Hillary Clinton. We're also going to be talking about coming up is Iran flexing its muscles and the State Department saying, hey, we can't tell you that they haven't been emboldened by our money that we've given them. So all of this is going on right now. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, though, Logan.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Catherine, who is calling from Washington.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, I just want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Thanks.
I'm calling because it seems to me that there are so many things that could hit Hillary Clinton and knock her out of the race altogether, but somebody or something has been holding back all of these things. Do you think that she has finally gone over the line where they're not going to be able to keep everything from hitting her because of her deplorable comments or health issues?
Yeah, let me say this. We have a pre-meeting in our office here for radio, and one of our lawyers who works on our media team also, Joseph Williams, made the statement is that he thought she was one comment away, one more low point. If she hit that, it could be serious trouble for her. But that doesn't mean she'd pull out of the campaign, just electorally.
Yeah.
Where do you see it right now, Jordan?
I think the only way she pulls out of the campaign, she's got
health.
A lot of is the health issue. The DNC has been totally behind her. The Obama administration protected her from the prosecution, protected her. You know, they got the FBI to not pursue any kind of charges, even after there were clear violations of law. So she's gotten the protection from – she had President Obama out on the campaign trail. They
right. –
are still very much want Hillary Clinton office, not because they're all great friends, but because she will carry on the Obama legacy. So the only way she's not on that ticket is if the health becomes more and more of an issue. And I will say, latest poll that came out, I mean, 4 in 10 voters are considering this a top issue. That's a lot. That's 40% of people consider her health to be a real problem.
Fan, what are you hearing in Washington? What's the sense there?
Jordan's exactly right. Listen, the DNC is going to stand behind her in the scandals, and Jay, I'm just going to tell you why. Because there are so many other of them that are implicated, from Cheryl Mills to possibly the President of the United States. So many others, they're going to stand behind her on that regard. But Jay, let's say she has one more health episode on video. She would be politically finished, and at that point, I fully expect the DNC would step in and trigger their option to replace her on the ballot. Now, obviously, that's a pretty significant event. But if that were to happen, as it did last week, I do think they would step in.
Let me tell you also this basket of deplorables comment, which I think is, if people are saying it's her 47%. We've been saying this is the way she phrased it was not the first time she said it. It wasn't. This was to Israeli TV on September 7th. Here it is.
If I were to be grossly generalistic, I'd say you can take Trump supporters and put them in two big baskets. There are what I call the deplorables, you know, the racists and the, you know, the haters and the people who are drawn because they think somehow he's going to restore an America that no longer exists. So just eliminate them from your thinking, because we've always had a kind of paranoic, prejudicial element within our politics.
Eliminate them from your thinking.
And talking about this way about Americans on a foreign television broadcast in Israel. I mean, Israel's our good friend and ally.
But still, you don't.
But
do
you
that.
Don't attack. You've never seen Israeli politician come on a U.S. broadcast and attack Israelis. But she, of course, saying eliminate people, which is interesting to use on Israeli television.
It's
eliminate
unreal.
People from your thinking. And this is
you just
it shows
the
your mindset.
Yeah. You just seen the beginning of this. All right, folks, we come back from the break. More of your phone calls, Logan. People can get comments in as well.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. We're broadcasting live there right now. Again, ACLJ.org, Facebook and Periscope.
All right, we'll be back with more in a moment.
We'll be right back.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, to be released on September 20th, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. Pre-order it now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, to be released September 20th, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Pre-order it now. Unholy Alliance at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, I want to turn to Iran. Iran threatens the United States Navy aircraft, basically threatening to shoot them down. Reports coming out that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy has a message for the U.S. Navy. Go to the Banff Pigs. The Persian Gulf is our home. That's what they're saying. By the way, this was over international waterways. This is an ongoing taunting of Americans. This is creating a problem. We got to give you some of the history here. There is concern about this. Will, let us know which is the best soundbite to start with to kind of set this in play, but I want to set up with a little bit of a history here. Sure. We're going to walk you through the current crisis with Iran, and it's significant, folks. But there's a history here, Wes. Mm-hmm. Again, Wes Smith is a senior military analyst for the ACLJ. We've had this conflict with Iran before.
We have. It have. And the potential for escalation is tremendous. It really is. And it has escalated before, which ended up in people losing their lives.
Let's talk about that. I mean, people need to understand what happened in 1988.
Right. 1988, this was during the Iran-Iraq War. Iran, again, was doing a lot of saber-rattling towards the United States, even though we weren't involved in the war directly. And they planted some underwater mines in the Persian Gulf. And a U.S. frigate, the USS Samuel B. Roberts, hit this mine, almost sank the ship. 12 sailors were wounded. And because of that, President Reagan ordered us to counterattack. So two oil rigs that Iran held, which were actually communication posts for their military, were attacked. And then they sank an Iranian frigate, and then they sank three of the gunboats, much like the ones that
have been
menacing. Yeah, right.
So that Reagan ordered the attack onto these Iranian ships that were showing hostile action.
Right.
That's called powerful leadership.
Yeah. What happened when the Samuel Roberts hit the ocean mine? SEALs went in and checked. There were three or four others, and they had serial numbers on them. That's how they traced them back to Iran.
Yep.
And, of course, it escalated, though. And so there was this shooting war going back and forth. Iran continued to fire silkworm missiles at U.S. ships.
Yep.
Our defensive measures limited the damage. But in the midst of all of this, an aircraft flew into the Straits of Hormuz from Iran and refused to alter course and was heading towards a group of U.S. ships. And so a U.S. missile-guided ship fired a missile to down the airplane. They thought it was an F-14 fighter attack.
It was a passenger aircraft.
It was Iran Flight 655.
Yeah.
and all 290 passengers and crew died.
Which is tragic, but the fact is they were ordered to alter course. They did not. It was the Iranian Revolutionary Guard using human shields, basically, is what they were doing. Right. So you want to say something, Jordan, on this?
No, I just think it's important to point out that this is now escalating and why this is so current, and also with the book, Unholy Alliance, which, again, you can pre-order unholyalliancebook.com, because we're talking about Iran, Russia, and what this new offensive moves by Iran. I mean, now threatening not just our ships, but our aircraft, and threatening to shoot them down.
Yeah.
Well, and at some point, they're going to push the envelope a little further. That's their modus operandi.
From history, they sure have.
Yes, exactly. And once they do that, I mean, look what has happened in the last few months. In December, they fired unguided missiles near a U.S. aircraft carrier this past December. In January, they held 10 sailors captive. In July, right at the anniversary of the Iran nuclear deal, they did their fourth ballistic missile test in violation of U.N. sanctions. And then, of course, a month ago, the five gunboat incidences with our ships. And then, of course, over the weekend, threatening to shoot down two U.S. aircraft. They continue to be more threatening, more ominous in what they're saying.
All right. Let me play. Our friend James Rosen from Fox News dealt with this with the State Department yesterday. Did the money that we release embolden Iran?
I just wonder how you can possibly assess the evolution of this relationship, in which the landmark moment is the finalization of this nuclear deal, and rule out the possibility that, in fact, one of the byproducts of this deal has been to embolden the regime to worse rather than better behavior.
Well, we always were very clear that their objective in reaching a nuclear agreement with Iran was to prevent them from obtaining a nuclear weapon, which we, I think, all agree would only exacerbate the threat in the region of Iran, as well as exacerbate tensions in the region.
So, of course, not answering the question at all.
He keeps getting pushed on. And again, this is directly because of what happened on Saturday when two U.S. Navy jets, planes, are flying in international water in the Persian Gulf, 13 miles off the coast. Iran only has 12 miles out, so they're more than a mile, which is a long way. And Iran is threatening, but they communicate to these planes and say, if you do not move, we will shoot you down. We will fire at you. So this happened just on Saturday, and that's why James Rosen keeps pressing here in Bite 7.
Number 7.
We never said that this was going to solve all of Iran's bad behavior. And in fact, you know, we would like, as much as we would like to see Iran's behavior change in the region, we've not seen a significant shift.
In fact, you have seen a shift. It's gotten worse.
Well,
am I correct about that?
Well, again, I don't have all the facts and figures in front of me, but we have seen some disturbing, as you cited, trends.
All right, so I want to stop there for a moment, then we're going to save number 8 in a minute here. But so, Wes, you looked at the history of this militarily, and one of the things we talked about this in our briefing this morning was that this history of Iran doing this and escalating is part of their, in as late as 1988.
Right. They continue to do this, and the Pentagon has labeled their conduct of the last 6 or 8 weeks as being unprofessional. Is far more than unprofessional. This is reckless behavior.
Yeah, and provocation.
It is provocation, and I think they will continue to try and provoke us until we react.
Like Ronald Reagan did, which is take down one of their ships when they do this nonsense, and they pull these speedboats in front of your ship and you go right through it. That'll send a message, but this president will never do that.
Well, General Votel, who is the CENTCOM commander, last week in testifying about this and about the Iranian behavior, said that if something like that happens, that we will respond militarily.
I appreciate the general saying it. I appreciate their comments. Jordan, do you believe for a moment that President Obama would if even if there's this level of provocation which we're having right now, because we're going to play the bite in a minute. Yeah. Do you think that this president going out would do anything on Iran?
I think only if they actually shot down one of our planes. I think that's it. And I think all they do is maybe take out whoever shot that down. He wouldn't, you know, really take out their nuclear facilities.
Well, the Iranians, they exploit perceived weakness.
Right.
And they perceive the president as being weak.
So say he may take out the missile launcher.
Yeah.
I'm saying after Americans get killed.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's about it with the administration. Under a different president, you get this warning and you take that missile launcher out right then.
But with not telling them
you're not talking about mass war on Iran.
No.
You're saying that specific
Ronald Reagan
military
did surgical strikes back and that knocked the Iranians off from
oftentimes,
the nonsense.
Oftentimes, the Iranians, these troops and the generals that are leading these different deployments are acting alone.
Yep.
So you're not even necessarily saying it's all of Iran's military that was the fault here. You're putting the fault on this specific communication from the guard, Revolutionary right. Guard Corps, saying we're going to shoot you down. You say, no, you're not, and you're gone.
Yep.
Well, and the U.S. forces in the region, Jay, are put into a bind because the 10 sailors that were captured, they did not resist. They did not try to defend themselves and were brought up, you know, an investigation about it. So they're over there. Do they fire back or not? Do they defend themselves?
That's
or not
the rules of engagement. Who knows?
They cannot trust the administration to have their back.
All right, let me play James Rosen press the issue about emboldening Iran. Here it is.
But you can't rule out that, in fact, this deal has served as a cause for this more aggressive posture.
I mean, I can't rule that out. It's just, Iran, like many countries, has an internal political process that's defined by a lot of different dynamics. But I can't give an assessment one way or the other in that regard.
I can't rule that out. Can't rule what out? That they've been emboldened by the fact that we've given them money. So the relationship since we've given them the money has actually gotten worse.
Yeah, this is my blog that just posted. It's the Obama administration cannot rule out the possibility that the nuclear deal with Iran is actually strengthening Iran and causing Iran to be more aggressive in their military actions against the United States. This was an unbelievable assertion by a State Department that usually will never be honest and never really answer a question.
And Wes, you've also got to post something. Folks, you need to be going to ACLJ.org. We do share these on our Facebooks as well. And I've got a Facebook page. Jordan has a Facebook page. ACLJ has a Facebook page. Make sure you like those. You've got a blog up also, a piece up on how our enemies challenge the U.S.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, they exploit perceived weakness.
Yeah.
And thus far, you know, the leadership has been pretty feckless, both in the fight against ISIS and standing up to Iran. Iran, we had this supposedly great, you know, nuclear deal with them. The State Department yesterday confirmed that they are now holding more American hostages in Iran.
Yeah, no, that's true. So that, of course, we knew you give ransom, that's what happens. By the way, in our book, Unholy Alliance, which is out next week, and we encourage you to go to unholyalliancebook.com and order it now. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, of course. You can get signed copies as well from if you go to unholyalliancebook.com. Interesting quote I use from Benjamin Disraeli. And that's he's talking about in this particular case, Russia. But he says, questions between Russia and England are not questions that can be settled by arbitration. They are questions in which power is involved, and power can only be met by power. I also quote T.E. Lawrence of Arabia, who talks about Persians, that's the Iranians of today. He made an interesting observation. He said, and this is Lawrence's words, Shia Mohammedans, talking about the Shias, Persians, from Persia, are surly and fanatical, refusing to eat or drink with infidels, holding the Sunni as bad as the Christians, following only their priests and notables. That was T.E. Lawrence of Arabia's comment about the Persians of his day. We're going to be back with more, including your calls for our final segment at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. The book is out in less than a week, Unholy Alliance. Help us get us on some of these bestsellers lists. You can do that by purchasing your copy today, unholyalliancebook.com or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, to be released September 20th, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Pre-order it now. Unholy Alliance at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal, complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, to be released on September 20th, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. Pre-order it now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to go right to the phones because we got a lot of calls to go through. So be pithy in your comments. I feel like Bill O'Reilly saying one of those things, but let's be direct and quick, and we're going to answer your questions. Here we go. Let's start.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go in order. Let's go to Jimmy first in Louisiana. You're on the air.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Jay. Hey, I want to thank you for everything. I'm sure. A deplorable, but I want to ask you, with Iran going day by day, hour by hour, more aggressive, shouldn't Obama be in Washington doing his job instead of campaigning for Hillary Clinton?
Well, he's trying to protect his legacy, and Hillary Clinton's the only way for him to do it. But you bring up a great point. Look, we just mentioned the fact that the Iranian regime has increased their tension. What is the read in Washington on this stand right now, the situation with Iran?
Well, I think there's a lot of disturbance here in Washington, D.C. that the State Department apparently didn't anticipate this would embolden Iran. Jay, all of us were yelling and screaming about it. It was very obvious that that is what would happen. So to the caller's point, I don't know that there's a lot of people that want the president here in town on domestic policy, but goodness knows we need the commander-in-chief doing his job right now because the threats are certainly increasing.
I think what Jordan said is right. Unless there is a direct hit on a U.S. asset, military asset, he's not going to do anything.
He will let us get bullied. We know that he will allow our troops to be taken hostage. I think unless there's a loss of life, unless they are killed, he won't do anything. And I think even then the response will be very minor in a sense of, you know, it might be that after a plane gets shot down that we take out the specific missile silo that, you know, where it was shot out from. And I think that's what Iran is testing. How far can they go? So they know they can apprehend our Navy, sailors, take them hostage. Threaten our aircraft that they'll shoot it down. So they're right on the line of something, you know, where there's loss of life. And the way they're cutting off our boats with their high-speed boats. An accident, right? I mean, even an accident or somebody too trigger-happy who hits the button on the missile. And some of these planes that are flying reconnaissance in international water, these are not fighter jets that just, you know, move out of the way. And when a missile's on the way, they'd be hit.
Yeah. All right, Logan.
All right, let's go to Newt, who's calling on line one in Montana.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. I want to say thanks for all the time and effort you guys put into getting this information out. I just want to say that what we're seeing is a physical manifestation of what's going on in the spiritual realm. You know, God says in his word, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we're just seeing that going on. And I just want to encourage our brothers and sisters that, you know, that we need to be living for the Lord the best that we can, starting with me, myself, of course, first. And
well, I think also prayer is critical right now. I think, those of us that that have faith need to be exercising that faith. And this is, of course, you know, that may make you a deplorable, according to Hillary Clinton. But the fact is, I think we need to be very clear that we need to be praying. And listen, it also requires us to pray for those in authority. We have an interesting comment, Logan, coming in on Periscope, because you're supposed to pray for those in authority, and that would include the president. But interesting comment from Ashley in Periscope.
Ashley in Periscope says it seems like the president, President Obama, is just over it and phoning it in at this point.
I think there's some truth to that. I mean, I think he's more concerned about legacy build right now.
Is that true, though, for most presidents at this point?
Well, it depends.
Not this early. Not that they wouldn't keep trying, especially when it comes to national defense, national security. So instead of focusing on Iran, what's he doing? He's out campaigning for Hillary Clinton. So he's not phoning it in when it comes. I mean, he was hard hitting on the campaign trail yesterday. I want to let you know, he used probably, again, the toughest rhetoric against Donald Trump other than Hillary Clinton. I mean, he yep. is now her most aggressive surrogate, though he's had a horrible record of getting other people elected. Very good politician for himself. But, you know, the Senate Democrats, they lost the majority. They lost yep. the House. So he's not been great as a surrogate on the trail.
Yep. All right, let's go to Charisse on line six in Salem, Oregon.
Charisse, go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my sure. call. I'm a deplorable. Here's what's been on my mind for quite some time. Yep. I don't understand. I've been listening for a while now, and I understand that the Obama administration appears to not only be protecting Iran, yep. supporting their agenda. That's what I don't understand.
The president wanted a signature domestic achievement. That was Obamacare. He wants a signature foreign policy achievement. He views that as the Iran deal.
Yep. Yeah, he had Obamacare for domestic policy. Wasn't able to do much on immigration, so he had Obamacare for domestic yep. and Iranian nuclear deal.
And Dan, you mentioned before we went on air today that you think this, with all this kerfuffle going on with the Clinton campaign, that the Senate may be leaning towards staying Republican right now.
I really don't think you have to look any farther than the numbers that Jordan talked about earlier in yep. Ohio, where Rob Portman was essentially tied a few weeks ago, and now it appears that he's ahead. Yep. I think there is a greater than 50-50% chance right now that Republicans keep the Senate. We would have never said that a month ago.
No, we would not have. All right, Logan, who's next?
All right, continuing on, Bob in West Virginia.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question to you is this. I know that the director of the FBI and the attorney general both are appointed
by the president.
Appointed by the president. And they go before the United States Congress to be confirmed.
Right.
My question to you is this. If we can't get anything else done, does the United States Congress, through these hearings, have the ability to ask for the termination?
Well, they could ask for it, but they don't have the authority to terminate. They could impeach, but they can't terminate. So, look. That's not changing between now and the election, or now and the next president of the United States.
No, I mean, the impeachment process, there's been some talk about the IRS commissioner, but it's too long, and it has to go to the Senate, too, and then, you know, the House tries it. You know, it's not.
It's not going
to
happen. I think we got to be real. Sorry, we got two calls in 2 minutes, and I got to do a little book push here. All right.
Patrice in California on the air.
All right. Patrice, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for everything that you do. God bless you all.
Thanks.
I read a Fox News story, and it was a video of Hillary Clinton. It goes on for further clarification of what she determines to be a deplorable. And this is a quote, "Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will and deep-seated cultural codes and religious beliefs and structural biases have to be changed."
Well, she fundamentally believes that. I mean, that's actually their world view. That's their world vision. And that, you know, Americans that disagree with them, even taking the deplorable tag off, if you disagree with them, you're the enemy. And that's not the way we're supposed to work in a constitutional republic.
All right, last call. Nancy in Maryland.
Hey, Nancy.
Yes, hi.
Yep.
I just wondered if Hillary has another health event and the DNC decides to replace her on the ticket, how likely do you think it would be for that candidate to beat Trump?
Hmm. I mean, if she had a health event and they pulled her off the ticket and they put in Joe Biden, it'd be pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's actually Joe Biden would probably be the one who could really challenge Donald Trump, especially in the Midwest, in the blue-collar voter.
Absolutely.
They love Joe Biden. A lot of Americans love Joe Biden. He doesn't have the scandals of Hillary Clinton. He's a liberal, but he's able to. I think he's got that folksier ability, more like Hillary Clinton's husband, former President Bill Clinton, to connect with people, and a much better background.
Yeah, he's a likable guy. I think a lot of people like Joe Biden, and even though he'd say something like on abortion, where yes, he's pro-choice, but personally pro-life, has a lot of those Roman Catholic struggles, I think a lot of people do with being a Democrat, but it's interesting to see him, and again, well-liked in general on both sides.
I think in the Midwest, he'd be a very strong candidate.
But it's only if it's a health issue.
But only if it's a health, that is the only way it goes. She goes out if it's a health issue. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Facebook and Periscope, stay on. We're going to play for you the song That's the Way God Planned It in just a moment as a special bonus that I'm going to come and ask you to do something. Logan, let everybody know. Get the book, but also the ways to keep connecting with us.
Yes, obviously, Jay Sekulow Live. You can find it later on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store on your Apple device. And that includes Apple TV, where you can watch the show each and every day. You can also get Jay Sekulow Live on iTunes and the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Just search for it right there or in the podcast app.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. In his new book, to be released September 20th, Unholy Alliance, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Pre-order it now. Unholy Alliance at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it online at Unholy Alliance Books.